Okay, Shalom Aleichem. Good evening, everyone. Such a pleasure to see everybody coming back. It's been a while since we've been in person. And hopefully we'll be able to keep on going strong for the duration. The topic I want to speak about tonight sounds very generic. It sounds very cliche. But having spent some time focusing on it, I'm telling you, it can rock your world. So I don't say that lightly. With a word of introduction first, the writings that we're going to be learning from is Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, the Ramchal. Some might know him. He lived in the 1700s, born in 1707 in Padua, Italy, dying about 40, if not 39 years later, supposedly buried in Eretz Yisrael near Rabbi Akiva, dying in the year 1746. He was a phenomenal, phenomenal figure. Many of us know him as the author of the Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim is known as a Musar work. Musar work, generally, we think of nice, inspirational, a little fluffy, and that's the way, and just the connotation, the name that it has. It's important to realize that aside from the fact that this Musar work is learned in yeshivas throughout the entire world, in his own time he was considered to be very controversial. As a very young man, so he was already engaged in very esoteric areas of the Torah. He was considered to be kind of like a young whippersnapper, that particularly on the heels of Shabtai Tzvi and the entire debacle that took place a few decades earlier, was looked at with tremendous suspicion. And as a result of that, eventually he left his native Italy. He went to Amsterdam, which was considered to be a very liberal, broad-minded, well-accepting Jewish and non-Jewish community. And that's really where he found his home for 8 years. And that's where he published many of the writings that we're familiar with, where he took many of his lofty ideas that for the common person is very hard to understand. And he wrote very normal, almost textbooks that we have. So Mesilas Yesharim is like a textbook in growth. Derech Hashem is a textbook in Jewish fundamentals. Different works of those sort, different types of essays. And then eventually he went into Eretz Yisrael. Not clear exactly what motivated him to go. I mean, obviously it's important for everyone to go to Eretz Yisrael, but someone at the height of his career, who had such a set-up life where he could just keep churning things out, goes to Eretz Yisrael. We don't hear anything about him for a few years, and then apparently passes away in a plague, him, his wife, and his child, one if not more. Now, it's important to realize the reception that he received. So soon after he died, in the Ashkenazi world, as you know, there were the Hasidim and the Misnagdim. They did not agree on much. And yet, the Vilna Gaon, who is not known for giving light compliments, said about the Ramchal that the author is much greater than the works, as great as the works are. If he was alive today, he said, I would go by foot to Padua to learn from him. Now this is, for those who don't know, the Vilna Gaon is one of the giants of the last 500, if not 1,000 years. Is someone who locked himself up into his base medrash, into his house, and didn't go around giving compliments in general. He was hypercritical about everything, not in a bad way, but just in an intellectually honest way. And if he said that about the Ramchal, so you know that there's something there. There are testimonies that when he received some of the Ramchal Svarim, he put on his Shabbos clothes, he made sure to pay extra from it. And from then, from the students of the Vilna Gaon, the Ramchal was held in very high esteem. The parallel world, the Magen and Mezrich, the Hasidim, they used to learn his works as well. The Magen and Mezrich is reported by a student saying the Ramchal's generation was not worthy, they were not deserving of his holy neshama, and that's why he passed away at such a young age. Going down to the next generations of the Musar movement, Rav Zundel of Salon told Rav Chaim Balazhin, I'm learning all the Musar Svarim, but the one sefer that should be the guide for you is the Mesilas Yesharim. And going on generation after generation, what hasn't been known as much, it really came out in the last 100 years, from different libraries where we found so much of his writings, is just what a tremendous giant this individual was in so many other ways. And one of the things that has come out is that these simple texts, we're going to learn, texts talking about loving Hashem and fearing Hashem, they're kind of, they're topics that authors of our generation speak about all the time. It seemed very simple. So he was a master Kabbalist that embedded these ideas into his simple writing. And that's why his writing is so profound and powerful, and how it had such an impact on the Jewish world when you realize an incredibly holy person wrote this, and he embedded powerful ideas in this very simple writing. When you realize that, you relate to the writing very differently. Right? Each one of us can take a piece of paper, read words, but the question is going to be, what book are you reading and who wrote it? When you have that appreciation, just to give one example, a little bit off the topic, but this individual had divine revelations from Eliyahu HaNavi, Moshe Rabbeinu, different Malachim, they came to him and told him all different types of things. We have this in his handwriting, that he writes about these things. So you can understand, A, as a young man, why he was considered to be controversial, but B, you can come to understand a little bit when he has an incredibly powerful impact from his svarim, you realize it's not just the sefer itself, there's something beneath the surface. I want to share with you one idea, one topic. Now it seems, again, a very basic topic. If anyone would ask us, and he writes this in his introduction, is fear of Hashem important? Of course, 100%. You can't be a proper Jew if you don't believe in Yiras Shamayim, you don't think it's something important and to focus on. And yet he laments in his introduction that the way of the Jewish world, the scholarly Jewish world, scholarly meant both in both secular knowledge, religious knowledge, it's looked down upon intellectually. If he sees someone focusing on all these fluffy ideas a little bit too much, he says, you can't help but wonder that maybe they're not so sharp of their intellect. And that's why they like talking about these ideas. And he says, nothing could be further from the truth, though. He says, it's so damaging. It's damaging that for the wise people, that they're not going to be involved in this. And it's damaging for the simplistic people, that no one understands what we're talking about. The Chazal say, Hein Yirat Hashem, the Pasuk says, Hein Yirat Hashem Yichachma. Fear of Hashem is the wisdom. The capital wisdom. Chazal say it is the singular wisdom, meaning that there's more wisdom about fearing Hashem than in other areas. Open up a physics textbook, more wisdom in that. So we have to understand, for us, that's an emotional experience. But how is that wisdom? Now first we have to get to our definitions. Is the right word of Yiras Hashem fear of Hashem? So we're going to see. What I want to do is I want to expose you to one section of his in Derech Hashem. Derech Hashem is his work where he kind of goes top down and just arranges for you the ways in which kind of life works. And then we'll look at a passage in Mesilas Yesharim where he talks from our angle, how do we go about acquiring those levels? And aside from going through this process, I want to show you something which I found to be so powerful that I can't help but share it. You're going to see it. It's going to be fascinating. I hope. So look at page number one. And it happens to be Ramchal does write in his introduction to Derech Hashem. He says, the assumption in rabbinic writing is every word counts. Right? When you learn Gemara, you learn Chumash, the assumption is every word counts. Now in later generations, that's not always the case, so they don't always say it. The Ramchal, who is known to not, the Vilna Gaon said the first 10 chapters of Mesilas Yesharim, he didn't find one extra word or letter. Nothing. Everything was perfect. There he didn't even make any promises. In Derech Hashem, he starts off the Sefer with a promise. He tells you every single word here is written carefully. If you're not sure about it, look into it closer and closer, because I made sure to embed in there everything. So we're going to read here the first page of Derech Hashem. I'm going to read in the Hebrew and translate. Feel free to see however is easier for you. We already saw earlier in Yanei Av Avira. So he spoke about the area, the zones of loving and fearing Hashem, how it's significant in our serving of Hashem. Because there he's this delineating and describing the impact of it. Those two features bring you closer to Hashem and connect you to Hashem. That's only the real deal. That's only if it's the real McCoy. Anything else that's a fake, that's not going to cause metaphysically you to get closer to Hashem. So what does that mean? It's true love of Hashem and not love of the reward. Sometimes I can ask my daughter if she can bring me something from the kitchen, and she's thinking she wants to get extra dessert, so she runs to bring it to me. And sometimes she could think, I love my Abba so much, I'm going to do whatever he wants. So you can love Hashem because you actually love him. You can love Hashem because you're thinking, this is going to work out well for me. This is a good investment of my time and energy. So he says, I'm talking about the real love. The Yiras Romimuso. Velo Yiras Onish. And what does fear mean? We're going to have to see, maybe we have to translate it a little bit differently. It's awe of his grandeur, not fear of sin. Not fear of sin. So shaking that you might violate something, it's an important part of your religious progress. It's an important thing to exist. And yet that's not the real fear of Hashem, which is really awe. Awe is when you're in the presence of something so big, so profound, so great, you feel almost inadequate. And right now, for me at least, everyone's different. For me, if a Ravada Yosef would walk in the room right here and stand right next to me, I would be shaking. Not because he's going to hurt me. He was a 90-something-year-old man. I mean, he would give people slaps, like kind of hard. But it's not because he would hurt anybody, but because you just feel as if I'm in the presence of greatness. There's a relative gap between me and you, and I'm shaking in awe. So that's what we mean when we talk about fear of Hashem. Not fear that I'm going to get Gehenna. Now, it's a natural, healthy thing to, as you go through your religious process, to have that feeling. Each person should make sure that they should go through that process, but yet the height, the apex, is not going to be, fundamentally, I care about myself. I want to make sure I get good stuff. I want to make sure I don't get bad stuff. So I'm going to love Hashem because I want good stuff. And I'm going to fear Hashem because I don't want bad stuff. Because then we're basically like three-year-old children that are just living grown-up lives, but basically like a kid who wants a lollipop and doesn't want to get punished. And we're supposed to exist on a much deeper level. We're just going to focus on the awe of Hashem now. So he says, now what is the impact of it? And maybe in the future weeks we'll get a chance to analyze this because it's very profound. So he writes that the impact of it is that it purifies your body from the darkness. Ramchal has an entire approach how after the sin of Adam Arishon, we became contaminated with physicality. Meaning, as we see ourselves now, is not a pure human being the way it's supposed to be. It's a human being in a human neshama covered over with a spiritual contamination, that which we know is physicality, but even beyond that. So what does awe do? When a person experiences awe, you're standing on Yom Kippur davening, or you're having a religious moment, it purifies you from that spiritual contamination. And now look at these words. Umashra alav hashras hashchina. Hashras hashchina. So these are highfalutin words a little bit. Shechina literally means to shochen, means to dwell. Hashem's dwelling in this world is referred to as Shechina. Not, God forbid, that Hashem has any physical properties or characteristics. But whatever it means that God's presence is dwelling in this world or it's felt in this world, apparently, the moment that you experience awe, so a two-step process takes place. Number one, your physicality gets purified, and then as a result of your physicality getting purified, there's the presence of the Shechina on you. And I think I can't speak for everyone else, but I imagine it's true, when you're in the presence of a real tzaddik or a real tzaddikas, you sense something. You sense there's something a little bit different. You can't put your finger on it, you can't exactly describe it. There's a different presence to them. This is describing and saying someone who's experiencing awe, themselves are more purified, and themselves have more of the presence of the Shechina on them. And then when you're around this person, one of the reasons why you're so inspired is because you're in the presence of the Shechina. Again, not to equate this person with God and the divinity in any way, shape, or form, but there's a presence, there's an impact of Hashem's presence that's felt on this person. Look at this next time. Ukefi shira yira. This is not an all or nothing game. To the extent that you experience awe, ken yeshira tara vashra. This is not a green light, red light, green light. This is all gradual. To the extent you have a little bit more awe today, you're going to have more purity, you're going to have more presence of Shechina. You see a really big tzaddik, it's going to be more. It's all kind of like on the spectrum. Umisha megelios yare b'yirazos tamid. Someone who constantly, always experiences this awe, meaning they're feeling this presence. Tia Shechina shor alav tamid. They're always going to have the divine presence resting on them. The pasuk says, Moshe says, Jewish people, what does Hashem desire of you but just to fear Him? And the Gemara says, fear of Hashem is such a small matter. Now keep in mind, fear doesn't mean fear you're going to hurt me. Fear means awe, to live with that awe. So the Gemara says, yeah, for Moshe Rabbeinu, that was a relatively small matter. Meaning, because Moshe Rabbeinu, he lived with this awe, so then he was purified, and then as a result of that, he had the Shechina's presence on him. Therefore, it's all gradual. To the extent that you experience this, to that extent, quantitatively and qualitatively, you will experience the divine presence on you. So Moshe Rabbeinu is almost the extreme, the maximum that a person could experience. But every single one of us, wherever we are on the spectrum, you have to make it to the real awe. Again, you can't be living just with fear, I'm going to get Gehenna, I don't want bad things to happen to me and my family. You have to be thinking, literally, I'm in Hashem's presence, and there's an inappropriateness to do otherwise. But once you're on that spectrum, then however far you're able to go, you'll be purified, you'll experience the divine presence. For many of us, it's very difficult. Not just quantitatively over the course of your day, over the course of your life, but qualitatively. To the profundity of your awe will affect the strength of that tower that you have. Now he zeroes in. Even though as you're going to walk home now, as you're going to lay on your bed, as you take a shower, different times you're going to be maybe thinking about this. So it's true. But it's particularly important when a person's involved in a mitzvah or in studying Torah. So right now all of us are engaged in Torah study. If you say, how do I do this mitzvah properly? How do I have the maximum spiritual impact of this experience? It's absolutely necessary to be experiencing your awe. So anytime you're directly engaged in the service of Hashem, there for sure, if you want to do it properly, you don't want to b'di'evet lulav, you want to do a proper lulav, you don't want to b'di'evet mezuzah in your house, anytime you're doing a mitzvah, make sure to be experiencing this awe. The Mefarshim here quote, there's a passage in the Tikkuni Zohar that writes that awe and love of Hashem, Yir and Av Hashem, are like two wings that take your mitzvah up and bring it above. It's a famous saying of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov one time walked into a Beis Medrash, and he immediately said he couldn't stay in there. And they asked him, Rabbeinu, what's the problem? What's wrong? He said, there's so much Torah and Tefillah here. I said, okay, so what's the problem? He said, the Torah and the Tefillah is meant to go up, but because it's davened and being learned without love and fear of Hashem, it's not going up, it's just staying in the room here. So it's suffocating to walk into this room. Now obviously that's on a very high spiritual level, but the idea is we're meant to be elevating our mitzvos to be going somewhere, to be doing something. And the wings to take it there, that's the love and the fear of Hashem. So that's a little bit what he's describing here. So it's relevant all the time, but particularly when we're engaged in a mitzvah or learning Torah. Fine. So until now, I happen to think, but we don't have much time. I happen to think this is, to me, I could sit here and just literally go over this all day, and there's tremendous profundity. I'm going to jump ahead. And if you turn to page number where you see 174. Kufayin Dalet, 174. We're just going to jump ahead because we don't have so much time. So in Mesilas Yesharim, this is Mesilas Yesharim. Yeah, this is Ramchal also. Yeah. Is that your question?
No.
Oh yeah. So the first sefer. Oh, I'm sorry. The first page we did was Derech Hashem. That's his more machshava work. And then now we're in the Musar work, the Mesilas Yesharim. So Mesilas Yesharim is more from the angle of, okay, how do we get there? Right? Derech Hashem is describing the world in the higher top down. Mesilas Yesharim is going down up. How do you get there? So now, in the previous chapter, we're not able to go into it. He describes different elements of fear of Hashem, but the basic idea is this awe. That's the basic idea. And he says, how do you go about acquiring it? Right? Sometimes you might just think, just like knock yourself over the head. What do you focus on? So here we go. Ach derech knias yirazos. How do you acquire this awe? Who is bonin al shnei inyanim amitim? I want you to focus on, and not just focus, to contemplate, meaning to really let it sink in, two very true things. When he says amiti, also sometimes there's a connotation of the esoteric in the Ramchal. There's something, two very deep ideas here. Number one, hu ayo shchinaso yisparach nimtzeis b'chol mokom sheba'olam. Number one is to focus, to contemplate, to meditate on the fact that Hashem Shechina is in every single place in the world. Meaning right now we're all sitting in this room and there's bottles of water and there's pieces of paper and there's people around us. And to realize that the Shechina is in every single part of this world. And number two, v'shehu yisparach mashkiach al kol davar katan v'gadol. Ein nistar megen enav. Number two is, I think, an idea that we're more familiar with, the idea that he's observing everything. Right, Rosh Hashanah, we talk about Hashem observes everything, he sees everything, nothing passes his judgment. Nothing passes his vision. So now to me, I always thought the Shulchan Aruch starts off quoting from the Moreh Nevuchim, Shevisi Hashem L'Nedi Tami. David HaMelech says, I place myself before Hashem. And different Sfarim talk about the importance of realizing that you're in front of Hashem. Now what does that mean that you're in front of Hashem? So Hashem doesn't have a body. Hashem doesn't have a physical entity. So to me, at least when I visualize I'm in front of Hashem, it's the equivalent of security cameras. Right now we're all in a room, I'm sure there's cameras here somewhere, where when Jeffrey wants to go tomorrow to look in the security cameras, he can see who ate how much sushi and who's paying attention versus not. I don't know, he can see everything. To a certain extent, at least this is the mushel that I have in my mind, there could be like a creepy little Martian on planet Mars, a little orange guy who's got a humongous telescope, and he's watching everything that can happen in this world. And basically it's the same experience. It's the experience of being observed, and therefore, and knowing that everything's gonna count. So I know that there's a Gan Eden and a Gehenim and whatever else happens. And I know that every single moment I'm being filmed on camera. So I always thought that's the experience of being in Hashem's presence. And then that brings you to fear of Hashem. Ramchal adds in a very key additional idea. He says, that's true. That's idea number two. But what was idea number one?
Little things.
He says, Shechinaso b'chol makom. Not just little things. But apparently it's not enough for us to know that we're being observed. There's a human need, there's a human recognition when you're in the presence of something. If I told each and every one of you right now that your grandmother, your saintly grandmother, is watching you from Shemayim, So you might act a little bit more, you may make a bracha a little more kavana, you might act a little nicer to people. You know that you're being watched from above, you'll conduct yourself one way. If she's standing next to you right now, you felt her presence, literally standing right next to you, right now watching you, in front of you, you would relate to it very differently. It's a natural human thing. We're all like that. The notion, it's a very deep esoteric idea. I can't say I'm able to explain it, but I think sometimes even being aware of ideas can have a profound effect on us. The notion that Hashem's Shechina is every single thing in this world. What that means to say is every physical thing has a spiritual DNA. Nothing just exists. Every single thing has a spiritual DNA. The spiritual DNA, whatever that means in the world of the spheros and the different spiritual worlds, but at the end of the day, everything is getting its source from Hashem. So in some way, shape, or form, every single thing that you see that exists is a reflection, a representation of Hashem's presence. So Hashem's Shechina being in every single place, surrounding us, realizing that you're not just, there's not that creepy little Martian who's watching you, but that you're actually in Hashem's presence at all times. He's right, not he, but his presence is felt around you. So apparently that will cause you to act in a very different way. Now, just to finish off the remaining 3 minutes, what did the Ramchal describe in Derech Hashem? He said that if you experience this awe, he said there was a two-step process. Part number one was that you purify your physicality, right? You remove that contamination that's in you. Number two was that the Shechina dwells on you, right? That's what he wrote. That's what we saw. So something very interesting is happening. The more hyper-aware you are of the Shechina's presence in this world and that's surrounding you, to that extent you become purified, to that extent the Shechina dwells more on you. It's almost like you're inviting it in. So the more hyper-aware you are when you're doing a mitzvah or any point in your life of the Shechina's presence in this world as a whole and around you, then as a result of this two-step process, there's going to be more Shechina dwelling on you. I think one maybe practical takeaway, and with this we'll conclude, is that aside from the fact, at least for me, this is a really cool idea, and it gives you a lot more to think about, and it makes it a little bit more understandable and inspiring, is that sometimes you sense when you're around certain people, there's a certain aura to them. A little bit, you start realizing. The people, what they have is more purity, they have more fear, awe, they have more purity, they have more Shechina. You're basically, by spending time around these people, where there's a heightened Shechina, and if you have a heightened awareness of them, you're able to draw it in. And that's why I think we naturally, I don't think we put our finger on it, for at least for me or for most of us, when you're around holier people. Holy doesn't mean just the rabbi with a really long beard. It could be a very common person sitting next to us, but you sense there's something pure and special about this person. There's the Shechina's presence on them, and then you start realizing that like you feel differently, you operate differently. But what that is, that if you have a heightened awareness of the Shechina in general in life, you yourself start having more of Hashem's presence on you. And then it starts having an impact on you. So just as we start picking our company, you start thinking like, who are we going to spend your time with? In shul, at Shabbos tables, whatever it is, you realize it's not just the psychological, I think we all think psychologically nowadays, and which makes sense on one level. Psychologically, the people you surround yourself with, those are good influences on you. For your kids, make sure to have good friends, they'll influence them. But on a deeper level, we see there's something very profound happening here. So I thank you very much all for coming and participating. And